From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, June 12, 2025. The University of Maine system says the Trump administration has restored a federal grant for PFAS research that was terminated last month. Caitlin Badion has more.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency told UMaine officials last week that it was reversing the termination of a $1.6 million grant effective immediately. It offered no reasons for the reversal. News of the reinstatement came the day after the university had formally appealed the decision. The funding will be used for research on how PFAS, which have been linked to numerous health issues, move through the food system. Two separate PFAS research grants to the Passamaquoddy tribe at Sepayeek and several Maine organizations working with the University of Virginia were also canceled last month and have not been restored. Both groups have appealed the terminations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
A bill that aims to provide tax relief to lower and middle-income earners in Maine has passed both chambers of the state legislature. Supporters of the Democratic-sponsored bill say it would modernize Maine's tax structure by adding two new brackets at the top and lowering rates on the middle and lower end. Just before a vote in the Senate today, Democratic Senator Nicole Grachowski said under Maine's current structure, some middle-income earners pay the same tax rate as those who earn 10 times as much.
That's not how fairness works. And it's why our tax code is upside down, asking more proportionally from the middle than from the wealthiest.
But some Republicans say that raising taxes on high earners will drive them out of state. The Maine House also gave initial approval today to a bill that would grant the Wabanaki tribes the exclusive right to offer online gambling in the state. The Wabanaki nations already run online sports betting in Maine. The latest proposal would allow the four tribes to expand their mobile offerings to casino-style games, such as poker, blackjack, and dice. Representative Brian Reynolds, the tribal representative for the Houlton Band of Maliseet Indians, said this would help the tribes meet their economic needs without relying on federal grants.
We know how to do this the right way. We've seen how the regulation of sports wagering has worked in Maine quietly, efficiently, with no disruption to local communities. iGaming will be no different. We're asking for a chance to build.
The bill faces additional votes in the House and Senate. A plan from the U.S. Coast Guard to remove dozens of navigational buoys from Maine waters is drawing criticism from state and federal lawmakers. Nicole Ogrisco has more.
Maine U.S. Senators Susan Collins and Angus King are calling on the Coast Guard to delay the removal of hundreds of buoys in New England waters, including nearly 100 in Portland Harbor, Penobscot Bay, and several Maine rivers. Removal efforts could begin later this year and continue into the next. The Coast Guard says the buoy changes are intended to support modern navigational needs because electronic systems are more widely available and affordable. But the senators argue that most mariners rely on physical and electronic navigational tools and point out that GPS and radar systems can fail. This spring, state lawmakers sent a letter to the Coast Guard to voice opposition. They said the buoys are an essential tool in dense fog and strong currents. The Coast Guard is accepting feedback about the proposal through Friday. Senators have asked that public comment be extended and that the Coast Guard delay the project until at least next fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Democrats on the legislature's budget writing committee voted Wednesday night to increase Maine's cigarette tax by $1.50 per pack. Governor Janet Mills had proposed a dollar a pack increase as part of her budget to generate additional revenue, but Democrats who control the Appropriations and Financial Affairs Committee wanted to add $1.50. Republicans, including Representative Ken Fredette of Newport, strongly opposed the plan.
This is a significant tax increase. It's a tax increase on a lot of families, a lot of Maine people. I would argue, if someone wants to argue against me, that it's not a regressive tax. I'd love to hear the argument.
The Maine Public Health Association applauded the move, saying it will help curb youth smoking rates. A Bangor man has filed a class action lawsuit against Covenant Health, the parent company of St. Mary's Health System in Lewiston, as well as St. Joseph Hospital in Bangor, over an ongoing cybersecurity incident. Michael McLean alleges that the incident in late May shows that the healthcare organizations failed to properly secure and safeguard private information. McLean claims that patients are at imminent and ongoing risk of fraud and identity theft. The lawsuit is asking for restitution and other damages, as well as a court order requiring additional cybersecurity controls. Meanwhile, Lewiston-based Central Maine Healthcare says it's working with national healthcare IT experts to fully restore its systems after an outage last week. A plan to conserve 50,000 acres of woodland near a new electric transmission line in western Maine is drawing opposition from environmental groups. Critics say the proposal fails to meet state requirements designed to protect mature forest and wildlife habitat. Peter McGuire has more.
The utility Avangrid proposed an easement on woodland near Jackman to compensate for the destruction of forest caused by the controversial New England Clean Energy Connect Power Corridor project. But Luke Frankel from the Natural Resources Council of Maine says the plan will need substantial changes to meet standards imposed by the project permit.
Taken all together, we kind of see this plan much more as business as usual in terms of commercial forestry operations in the unorganized territories.
Frankel says the proposal would allow more habitat fragmentation and that it doesn't conserve enough old trees. The plan was negotiated with the Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands. It received support from groups including the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine, but needs approval from state regulators. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
More than 10,000 older and disabled Mainers rely on the federally funded Meals on Wheels program for regular sustenance and for some company a couple times a week. Many live in rural areas, are below the poverty line, and are homebound. But at a time when demand for the service is growing, its funding has become the target of federal cuts. Carol Bousquet recently followed some volunteers on their delivery rounds in southern Maine.
Meals on Wheels volunteers Bev and Phil LeClaire maneuver their car down a quiet lane in Alpharet. They arrive at a little brick house to find 95-year-old Robert Vivian waiting for them on the porch.
Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome.
Phil places pre-made meals to last 7 days, along with milk, a fruit cup, butter, and bread on a small wooden table on the porch. Bev sets a bouquet of flowers down next to the groceries.
I love senior citizens. I think they deserve the respect and the love.
Bev and Phil say that they have been volunteering for just over a year and are worried about the federal budget cuts proposed to senior nutrition programs.
Because it's such a godsend to those people who are so caring and so appreciative of getting it.
The Southern Maine Agency on Aging operates Meals on Wheels in York and Cumberland counties. It reports that more than 145,000 dinners have been provided to residents so far this year. That's on pace to pass the nearly 240,000 meals delivered last year.
Some people have been waiting for weeks, and there are some people who have been waiting over a year.
The agency's CEO, Megan Walton, says that statewide there are more than 700 seniors on the Meals on Wheels waiting list. That comes just as the $6 to $7 million in federal funding that supports the program through the Older Americans Act has been placed on the chopping block, along with SNAP and other programs that help seniors.
All of these systems are under strain or under attack, and that just makes it that much harder for people when they're making really tough decisions about, do I pay for food? Do I pay for heating? Do I pay for utilities? Do I pay for prescription drugs? This is a climate that a lot of our clients are in right now.
Each meal costs about $8 to make, package, and deliver, as drivers can be reimbursed for mileage. A $3.50 donation from clients is suggested but never expected, as so many are barely getting by. Nutrition team lead Elizabeth Varga ensures that dietary restrictions are followed.
We have a lot of different options, especially different dietary needs, low sodium, diabetic friendly.
Varga says each client is reassessed every 6 months for meals. They are also connected with other services that can help them stay in their homes. Meals on Wheels also depends on volunteers like Bev and Phil LeClaire, who are on the front lines of the program. The couple says they will be adding routes to their schedule soon because there are currently not enough volunteers to deliver meals.
They make a big difference because he eats at different times of the day and night.
75-year-old Patricia Gerton is the primary caregiver for her 81-year-old husband, Carol, who has Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's. She says it's a round-the-clock job, so she's glad to see the LeClaires stop by, as is Elston Smith.
Good morning.
He's the final client of the day on the LeClaire's rounds, a self-proclaimed maniac who says he's 93 and a half.
These people are great to me. They are.
In the face of federal cuts, state lawmakers are considering a measure that would funnel more than $9.7 million annually into Meals on Wheels and other Agency on Aging community supports for older Mainers. It's currently on the special appropriations table, waiting to be funded. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The state of Maine has joined a federal lawsuit alongside more than two dozen other states that seeks to block the sale of personal data by the genetic testing company 23andMe. The lawsuit filed in bankruptcy court in the state of Missouri argues that genetic information is too sensitive to be sold without customer permission. A biotechnology company has said it wants to buy 23andMe after it filed for bankruptcy earlier this year. Attorney General Aaron Fry has previously raised concerns about the company's stability and data privacy practices and has advised Mainers to delete their genetic data from 23andMe. If you feel like it's been a conspicuously rainy spring in Maine, you're not wrong. The state is expecting its 12th consecutive weekend with measurable rainfall as precipitation heads our way Friday night into Saturday. But meteorologist Derek Schroeder at the National Weather Service in Gray says this weekend won't be a total washout.
It looks like that front's going to shift south Saturday afternoon into Sunday, so that would favor mostly dry conditions Saturday afternoon into Sunday, although we'll be a bit on the cooler side.
Schroeder says the last 3 months in Maine and New Hampshire have been one of the rainiest stretches on record. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Summer Reads. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.